This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
BP tanking?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Stock in the British oil giant BP is dragging down European markets this morning. That's because of reports that BP's new CEO said his company's third quarter financial picture is going to be dreadful. I asked our London Bureau Chief Stephen Beard, what's up with that?
Well, what's going on? According to the Financial Times, BP's third quarter figures are going to be dreadful. In fact, the worst since the early 90s during the big downturn when it cut its dividend. And the chief executive is warning of a big shakeup.
What kind of shakeup is he talking about? Are there going to be losses? What is he saying is going to happen?
Well, the Financial Times doesn't actually spell this out. It isn't quite clear, but it does look as if there are going to be job losses because apparently the new chief executive feels that part of BP's problem is there's too much duplication, there are too many layers of management, there's not enough clarity in what people are doing within the company, and some of these layers of management will have to go.
Doesn't seem to make any sense that there would be any problem for an oil company at this moment in time.
No, it does look pretty counterintuitive. However, of course, BP has had some major problems in the US and the effects are still lingering. For example, the Texas City refinery fire. And there have been problems in this part of the world, in the North Sea, where some damage to gas pipelines have caused severe disruption to BP's activities in the North Sea. BP shareholders can take heart, however. The company, according to the Financial Times, is hoping for much better things in the fourth quarter.
That's our Stephen Beard in London. And to that point, oil slipped 50 cents a barrel in overnight trading. It's still 80 bucks and change. Today's a big day in the ongoing saga of media giant Clear Channel. Shareholders vote today on a proposal to take the company private. The private equity firms who want to do that have sweetened their offer several times. U.S. markets sobered up on Monday. The Dow closed down 61 to 13,759. The Nasdaq closed down 3 to 2667. And the S&P closed down 8 to 1517. After languishing in recent weeks, the junk bond market got a boost from last week's Fed rate cut. Marketplace's Amy Scott looks at whether that means a real rebound.
Yellow Pages publisher R.H. Donnelly sold $1 billion worth of junk bonds last week. It was the first big sale since midsummer. Scott Minard is chief investment officer at Guggenheim Partners Asset Management. He says the Fed's decision to cut interest rates last week gave investors the confidence to dip their toes back into the market.
The Fed put the punch bowl back on the table, and we're going back to the party.
It may be too early to celebrate. Martin Fridson publishes the research newsletter Leverage World. He says commercial and investment banks have taken on billions of dollars in debt to finance leveraged buyouts. They planned to sell that debt to investors.
The problem is $300+ billion of debt that was designed for very different market conditions.
Fridson says it will be harder to finance new deals until banks unload some of that debt. They've made progress in the last few weeks, but they had to sell at a discount. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
Hey, if you're over 50 and you want a job that treats you right, you might want to head to Racine, Wisconsin. The AARP says the packaged goods company SC Johnson is at the top of its list of best employers for people of a certain age. Michelin North America and Principal Financial Group made the list as two other senior-friendly companies.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
What's the difference between the shopping mall and this crop of mega churches led by preachers with big personalities? A new book called Shopping for God says not all that much. Author James Twitchell says a seeming surge in religious interest in this country doesn't have as much to do with spirituality as it has to do with marketing.
When the product is very similar, then the marketing starts to take over. You take a product like water, which you can get out of the tap for nothing. Somebody can come along and say, oh, this is Fiji water or this is Dasani water, and you can pay, you know, $1.59 for 9 ounces of it. And it's here in this world where branding, something we do to soap and bottled water, we now are self-consciously doing to denominations.
And we always have done that, but it just seems to have taken on a bigger life.
Well, it's much more self-conscious now. The denominations actually have hired agencies. They have marketing campaigns. They understand all kinds of language that only marketers used to know. In other words, the world of mammon is coming quite close to the world of Jesus.
Let's talk a little bit about what a mega church is and how it can probably only have existed in the modern times.
Well, the easy definition of the megachurch is simply by size. It's any church with 2,000 or more participants. But what really has made this exciting and eruptive is that these churches have essentially commandeered the rock concert. In other words, they've taken music and they've amped it up. They've removed the old 18th century hymns. They have drop-down screens. And the pastorpreneur very much resembles a rock star. I mean, it's a thrill. It's not at all the church that you remember as a child. In fact, that's one of the selling points. This is not your father's church.
In reading your book, I'm thinking a lot about what's happened to the mom-and-pop hardware store. It got kind of shut out by the Home Depots of the world. That's what you're saying is what's happening with small churches.
Small churches are dropping like flies. I mean, they disappear at the rate of about 8 a day. Meanwhile, the Walmart delivery system is sort of coming in and commandeering the market. And this new operation is incredibly efficient. No money is wasted. Everything that happens in the megachurch stays in the megachurch.
James Twitchell is the author of the new book, Shopping for God, in Los Angeles. I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.